Well, hello and welcome to season three of Chamber Chat. You know, it's been a long time, Gavin, since we've sit in this seat and talked to people.
Yeah, I didn't realize until you said season three.
Yeah, we haven't really. So to let you in, you know, we used to put them out weekly, but my man Gavin is in college, so we kind of have to work around him a little bit. So when he's in town, we try to record one or two. So these episodes, they might not come out every week, but we're going to put them out. We're going to also going to do what we normally do. We're going to record from our events. We're going to be live. And if you ever want to be on Chamber Chat, here's the thing. We want anybody that wants to be on here to have the opportunity to speak, to talk, right? It's my job to open the mic, ask you questions, and let you do your thing. And so we want you to have that opportunity. Now, keep in mind, when we ask these questions, you don't always agree with everything that's on here, but that's okay. I mean, that's life, right? We can't always agree with everybody, but that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion, but we want the guests to have fun, have the freedom to talk about Hueytown and what makes Hueytown great. That's what is Chamber Chat. So we're coming to you tonight. We're recording from the Hueytown Art Council, the art show at the new Rec Center. And if you're familiar with Hueytown, that is the former Pleasant Ridge kind of, I don't know what they would call it, fellowship center, you know, whatever. We used to play, I played basketball many years in this league, and you know what? When I come here, I got to always thank my man, a legend in his own mind, my man Chick, the ref. Oh, I miss him. He's a good guy. Gone way, way too soon. But yeah, Chick would like it if we were here right now talking about this. But I've got a guest, and we're going to talk to him, and he knows Hueytown pretty well. And he, you know what? Him and his staff and his crew, they do a great job in protecting the city and didn't always get the love shown. But you know what? We're going to try to do that tonight. So, Chief, Mark Yarbrough, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you.
It's great to have you. So a little backstory. We were supposed to record a week ago. And Gavin, who arguably is one of the best producers of all time, forgot one chord. You saw it, Mike.
I did.
And how important it is. But he's got it tonight, so we're glad we could get you back out here and be a part of it.
I still believe that's the only one in existence.
It's got to be. It's got to be the only one. We got to order an extra one, too. We need to make sure we get that, so we always got one. Chief, first time on a podcast?
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
Great, great. Do you listen to any podcast?
I have.
Okay, any particular, you like any kind of particular podcast? You like sports or you like just, you know, true crime? I bet that's your job, so I want to listen to that.
True crime some. I like to watch a little true crime podcast. I like sports.
Sure.
Yeah. A little Joe Rogan, things like that.
Okay, Joe Rogan is really entertaining. I know Joe Rogan, known him for a while. Yeah. Good guy and a great podcast.
It's
great
really podcast. Good. It really is.
So before we get into what, you know, you kind of do, let's talk about... Let's get to know you, Chief, because that's really the key. So are you originally from Hueytown?
I am not originally from Hueytown. I was the son of somebody that was in the Air Force.
Okay, great. Fought for our country. Yeah.
I was born in Florida, moved around a lot, ended up in Selma, Alabama, about the third grade.
Okay.
And from there through the first year after high school, I graduated in Selma.
Okay.
Did a little junior college there and then left and haven't looked back.
So Selma has a interesting historic life. A lot of things went on, you know, in the civil rights era in Selma, the crossing of the bridge and all those things and the voting and all that. Did any of that make you kind of want to get into law enforcement? Was there anything like that that made you want to go, you know, this happened, I want to do a better job than it was done then?
Not really.
Yeah.
Growing up, my cousin was, he was a sheriff down in Dallas County.
Okay.
I had an uncle that worked for the police department in Selma, and I just kind of got around it then.
Okay.
And then when I came up to the Birmingham area, I went to work for an ambulance company, and I thought I wanted to be a fireman.
And oh, really? Those two. Come on, a fireman, policeman? What's going on with that? That's crazy.
I'm going to tell you, you know. It was kind of funny because I was scheduled to take the fire test.
Yeah.
And
Mayor Ware's going to sit and join us. That's awesome.
And couldn't. I was actually had to work and I couldn't take that test. So I ended up taking the police test. And 36 years later, here I am.
So you could have possibly been a fireman. There's a small chance in another world. That's crazy.
It really is.
So if you're listening to this, all the policemen and firemen out there, it almost was completely the opposite, right?
It was almost the opposite. I'm glad it wasn't because, you know, the more I'm around firemen, the more I realize how much help they really need.
Oh, absolutely. The comments and the opinions. No, I'm kidding.
You sure have a car go through the neighborhood this evening?
So, Mayor Ware, thank you for joining us. I know you're here for the art show once again, and we're having Chief on here, and he's talking about where he grew up and where he's from. So when did you get to Hueytown?
Let's see. Actually moved to the city in February of 2002.
Okay, so been here that long. Okay.
Been here since then, yes.
Okay. I want to ask you this question in a second about how it's changed, really, okay. in just the past 22 years of being a policeman. But when you got here, how long did before you became chief?
Let me see. I spent 30 years at Jefferson County Sheriff's Office.
Okay, 30 years.
So that was from 89 through 2019, okay. and I became chief here in 2019. So I've been here just over 6 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
On a job well done. So how has law enforcement changed?
Oh, man, law enforcement's changed a lot.
Yeah, okay.
It really has. I mean, you know, back in the early 90s, we didn't have a lot of the technology we have now.
Yeah.
Not everybody had their own car. You didn't have your own walkie-talkie. You didn't have GPS.
Yeah.
What you did have, though, was a lot more respect from other people.
Back in the blue.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, if you went to arrest somebody, it was like, hey, you know, you got me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you arrested them. Like I tell people, I can count on probably one hand how many fights I got into in 30 years. Because it just didn't happen that much back then.
Yeah. Well, Mayor Ware, you know my dad.
Absolutely.
And he taught me, when you get pulled over, yes, sir, have your license ready.
That's right.
You be very polite, and you'll be fine.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he knew a lot of policemen because a lot of them worked for him at the funeral home.
Yeah.
So he had nothing but respect for police and uniform. And that was what he taught me. And I've always been that way. I mean, listen, you know, we'll talk about this in a second, but this is not an easy job. And if it was, more people would do it, right? It's a tough job. It's tough. No, I mean, you know, everybody has an opinion, but let's let them go on patrol one night. Let's let them. I mean, really. Because I think
I agree with you.
Do y'all do ride-alongs ever like that?
We do.
Okay,
we do. We
I would be interested in doing that because I just want to see how that goes.
Sure.
Yeah. I like to see.
Get with me, and we'll make it happen.
That sounds good. I brought you on the podcast. My podcast. You're going to bring me on a little ride along
and get you hooked up.
To see how that works. I just want to say freeze. That's what I wanted.
But yeah, I mean, it's you know. Having done it for the last 35 years, I don't consider it as dangerous as a lot of people do.
Sure.
That's all I've ever known. I mean, you know, this is a job that I've known. Just like somebody coming to your podcast may be nervous, but you're not because you do it all the time.
It's just second nature, right?
Right. And, you know, I've been doing it for so long, it's just, it's a little different.
Well, I mean, you do a job, and Mayor...
I got somebody doing that.
So
this is the only
that's Jay Jax talking really loudly while we're recording, as always.
I'm going to say hey to everybody that's listening.
But Mayor, same thing for you. You know, your job is not something a lot of people want to do.
No.
But people probably have comments about, well, this funeral, the way they did this and the way they did that. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, come do it.
I think our jobs are different.
Yeah.
But they're also the same in the fact that people don't realize the things that go on behind the scenes to make things happen.
Sure.
You know, I had a brother. It was a retired. Well, he retired from Birmingham. He had 31 years with them.
Yeah.
He left there and then went to work for Argo.
Okay.
You know, and something that I guess that I always admired about him and policemen in general, you know, when everyone is running away from a problem, they're running to it.
Exactly.
And people... You know, they don't understand that. No. If they've never been in that situation, then they don't understand.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's what I'm saying is I think it would be great for people to see what y'all do, know about it. Because in the world we live in, we talked about it the other day before we got the chance to record. You know, social media is so good in so many ways. I mean, you can see somebody that you graduated with 40 years ago that lives in Oregon. And y'all can still –
That's why I enjoyed it.
That's
in the beginning.
In the beginning. You can stay in contact with those people. But what has happened – and let me tell you, when I say this, I'm not saying this about everybody because there's a lot of good people.
No.
You know, okay, today was my birthday. Thank you for the birthday. Thank you for the birthday wish. But, I mean, I got plenty of birthday wishes from people on social media. I had, you know, family, friends. That's great. But it's that small percentage that want to complain. But here's what you never get, Chief Mayor Ware. Okay, so what? Now what? That's what I would ask. Okay, so what should we do? What can we do? Because there's no answer on the other side of that. It's just the complaining part of it.
Yes.
In a job that nobody wants to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so as far as social media goes, I try to stay off of it. I get on it sometimes just to check a few things. And then, you know, I fall into rabbit holes every now and then.
Don't do that.
Oh, I know. But my wife, you know, she'll tell me, she'll go, hey, don't answer.
Yeah, don't answer. Like, no, never answer.
You're right. So, you know, I see a lot of things on social media that I know aren't true.
Yes.
But if I say anything about it, then
you're feeding the fuel that is
right,
the fire.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. So just sit back and let it go.
But the downside of that is perception becomes reality.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Perception becomes reality, which that's not true. Reality is reality.
Correct.
That's right.
And, you know, until you know what you're talking about, mm-hmm. it'd be better not to be a part of that. So let me ask you this. How has law enforcement changed after COVID, after lockdown?
Well, COVID changed a lot of things. You know, when COVID first hit, nobody really knew what to do. I mean,
we were lost.
Brand
yeah.
new. It was different for everybody. And you had people, including us, would clear the jail.
Yes.
Because we didn't want people.
You want people within.
Sick.
Yeah.
Right. And we wouldn't bring anybody in.
Sure.
And, you know, there for a while, people didn't go to jail unless it was felons. And even now, you know, some cities don't come pick up their warrants. We'll pull over somebody with a warrant. We'll call a local agency. They got a warrant on them. Just tell them I got a warrant. Let them go.
Okay.
We go get ours.
So y'all go get, if they're in Hueytown, you're going to go get them.
Well, if they're in Jefferson County.
Oh, the vicinity. Okay,
yeah,
great.
If they're in Jefferson County, unless we're really short or we got a whole lot going on, we're going to get them.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like what you said at a city council meeting a couple weeks ago. And there was a lot of opinion in that room. And
did
I thought you handled
excellent job.
Yeah, I thought you handled that well. It's not easy to take criticism constantly, especially when it's not constructive, right?
Right.
But you did a good job. And some people would say that's your job. But
right.
that doesn't mean that it's not hard, right? Because as human beings, we all have a threshold of how much we can take.
Sure.
I mean, we just do. As a mayor, you can only take so much. In my job, I'm over a lot of people, and I have to deal with complaints, usually from parents. There's only so much we can take.
Right.
But, you know, you have to rise above it. I thought you did a good job with that. So kudos to you on that. But you said something I thought was interesting. You said that y'all are there, you know, y'all don't really prevent it as much as have to clean it up when it happens, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Elaborate
on that a little bit.
Well, there's no statistic that says how many crimes. Thank you, sir. There's no statistic that tells you how many crimes are prevented.
Yes.
By what you do.
Yeah.
You know, we're out, we're seen, we pull over cars, we write tickets, we put people in jail, probable cause. But, you know, when somebody comes in to get a job, I'll tell them, you know, we're really like the custodians of society.
Sure.
We go in and clean up the mess. Somebody else makes the mess, we go in and clean it up. And you going back to something you said a minute ago, you know, when people see us, it's usually on a bad day.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, nobody.
They don't see you. Or they just ran a red light by mistake or did something.
Right.
And you know, you broke a law. That's
right.
Your job. Because, you know, people get mad about that. But if y'all didn't do your job, well, nobody, right. Why would you ever stop at a red light?
Right.
I mean, yeah.
So, you know, I always not make fun, but I always kid with Danny Sullivan, the fire chief. You know, I say, everybody loves the firemen.
Oh, the firemen get everybody loves them. They ride around their truck. Everybody loves them.
Right. I mean, but when the firemen show up, they're there to put out the fire. They're there to save somebody's life. And they're very good at what they do.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I kid about it a lot, but they're very good. You know, if I ever have a medical episode, I want to have it here in this city.
Because they're going to take care of it.
They're going to take care of it.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
But when we see people, it's not a good day.
No. No.
You know, somebody's injured, somebody got their stuff stolen, something got broke into, pulling you over for a traffic violation, things like that.
Yeah. And I get, like, for me, it's so hard because you have a profession that's rarely appreciated.
Right.
Yeah, and that's just got to be tough. I'm sure it's tough for your officers, especially the young ones who are starting this career. Is being a policeman as popular as it is something that's wanted as much as what it is or is now that it was when you started?
Does that make absolutely sense? Not.
Okay.
So just to give an example, back when I first got hired on at the sheriff's office, there's like 17 agencies through Jefferson County that are hired through the personnel board.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time we had to go take a test, get on a list and all that. And there were over 1,000 people on this list to be hired.
Okay.
And every one of them were certified and could be hired. The recent list we got was maybe 200.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those aren't even qualified. They can't pass. The first day of rookie school, you have to run a mile and a half in 15:28. You have to do 25 push-ups in a minute, 23 sit-ups in a minute. And if you don't do that the first day, you go home.
Wow.
And really? some of these people on this list can't do that.
Sure.
So, you know, we test them before we hire them and things like that. But our numbers, by the time you get rid of that, our numbers probably dwindle to 50 to 100. And you have everybody around just about that's on the personnel board fighting for these people.
So there's, and heaven forbid you got somebody you think is going to be a star. I mean, it's probably just a big scrum to see who gets that person, right?
Absolutely. it really is. And, you know, here lately, we've been poaching off each other.
Yeah.
If I find one that I can talk out of another agency, yeah, I'm going to talk them out of them.
Sure.
Absolutely. And they're going to do the same to me. And that's fair.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah. With that being said, you're talking about with the physical part of it. Is that something they know ahead of time and can train for?
Yes.
Okay. And they just choose not to? Okay.
You know, I've seen them. I mean, we've taken them out to the track to run a mile and a half, and they can't make one lap.
Wow.
And that's a quarter mile.
And you know that you have to do this, right?
Yes.
It would. Okay, so let's say you wanted to become a cop.
Uh-huh.
You've got to go to – you got to get, of course, the physical part of it, sure.
Right.
And then you go how many weeks or months do you spend in school?
Okay, so the first thing you do is you have to get hired by somebody.
Okay, so do you fill out an application?
Okay. Let's say that somebody wanted to come to work for Hueytown.
Yeah, let's get somebody in. Let's get some good cops here if you're listening.
So they're not on the list.
Okay.
They come to us, hey, look, I want to fill out an application.
Okay.
We give them an application, they fill it out, we look at it, then we send them and we put them through the physical stuff.
Okay.
If they pass that, then we're good. So we can have them put on the list, but at that point, everybody else sees them too.
Oh.
So, you know, we try to hold everything back, put them on the list right at the last minute so we can get them.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do that. And then, you know, you go through the regular process, you do interviews and you do... you call their work and things like that, do a thorough background check on them. But once they get hired, you have 6 months to send them to the academy.
Okay.
And the academy is now 16 weeks long.
Okay. Do they stay there the whole time? They live there?
Yes.
So they're it's almost like going to a long summer camp, right?
Just about.
Yeah.
Because they'll have, I think the way they're doing it now is 10-hour days. So they'll go Sunday night, and they'll stay through Thursday evening, then they'll come home for the weekend.
Okay, they get to go home for the weekend. Okay, okay. Yeah. And they get, there's like a cafeteria there they can eat, and they're taken care of.
Well, we'll have to get them. It depends on which one you send them to.
Okay, sure.
So some of them, everything's there.
Yeah.
Some of them, we have to rent them a hotel or an apartment or something.
Sure.
And then they go eat, and we reimburse them for it.
Okay, okay. So either way, it's... At the end of the day, they are getting kind of free food,
yes.
Able to eat.
I mean, they're getting paid by us. Okay. We're paying for their food. We're paying for their paying for their classes. We give them a car to drive down there.
Mm-hmm.
So
they come out. Once they get out of school,
mm-hmm.
they are – how quickly do y'all hire them? How quickly are they ready to go?
No, they're hired before they go.
Okay, so they're hired before they go. So they come out. They're ready to rock and roll when they walk out of there.
Almost.
Okay.
Almost. Okay.
Next. What's the next step?
Next step. Because we've got three in the academy right now.
Okay.
Okay, and those three will graduate the academy April 10th.
Okay.
So that'll be on a Thursday. They will all start within the next week in their training phase.
Great.
And we train them for another 16 weeks.
All right.
And they'll go on 4 weeks on each shift. So we have 12-hour shifts. They do 4 weeks on days, A days. Then maybe B days, then A nights and B nights. So they get a little bit of everything. They get different training officers training them. They get different experiences. There's a lot of difference. Some people may not realize it, but there's a lot of difference in this city, just all areas, in daytime and nighttime. I mean, when I was on patrol with the county, I worked my first 7 years in the Bessemer area on night shifts.
Oh, Bessemer at night?
Cutoff.
Yeah.
I worked the cutoff at night, and when I first went to evening shift, I came in at 2:00 one day, and I'm riding down the road. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that building was there. I mean, you see things you don't see.
Yeah, at night. Yeah,
at night.
So, would you say night shift is the most difficult shift?
Each shift has its own thing.
Yeah.
Day shift, the weirdest things I ever did were on day shift. Just the weirdest calls having to be day shift. Evening shift was the most fun, but it's the hardest hours because you work at the time that it was 2 to 10. It was just bad hours. And then night shift is all night. It's not bad.
Okay.
So our shifts now run 6A to 6B and 6B to 6A.
And I would think, too, you know, depending on communities, your job could be easier to police, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's simply based on just what happens in communities. Okay, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, like around here, you'll have some people will call you and tell you what's going on. Mm. Some people, you couldn't give them $100 to tell you what's going on. That just ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
And for different reasons, you know. But sometimes we have trouble getting video footage from somebody if something happens. It's just, it's different dynamics in different places.
So with that being said, most difficult part of your job right now, as of today, what do you think the most difficult part of it is?
My job is the chief.
Your job is the chief. And we'll talk about the policeman. We'll talk about the
okay. So my job is administration. So the responsibility of everything that happens.
Okay. And you are the face.
Yes.
And the voice.
Yes.
And you have to go and talk to people, and you have to deal with complaints. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I don't really know what I would say. I guess the hardest part maybe is trying to keep up morale.
Okay.
Because, you know, when the world changes, morale changes.
Sure.
If people don't feel like they're being appreciated, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of harder to get them to do some work.
Yeah.
But that's our job, is to get them to work.
As a officer, somebody patrolling, what is their most difficult part of their job right now?
I'd say domestics.
Okay.
Because you never know what's going to happen at a domestic.
Sure.
Well, it's kind of the same for traffic stops. I mean, there's no such thing as a routine traffic stop.
And I see that a lot of time y'all have multiple cars now.
Yes.
Stop. Is there a reason for that, or is just that that's something y'all have started?
There's a couple of different reasons. So let's say that one of our cars pulls a car over.
Yeah.
So we have somebody close. We always like to have at least two cars there. Because you don't know. You don't know how many people's in that car. It may be a single person in that car. It may be four people in that car.
You're not sure, though, right?
Well, this person in the car may have a warrant on them. We don't know yet. And they could be looking in the rearview mirror and say, hey, there's only one of them. I can take him.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, another one showed up. Well, I can take both of those.
Yeah.
When the third one shows up,
it's a little more difficult.
It's a little difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah, yeah.
That changes a little bit. But, you know, some of the guys we have haven't been off the training car long. So they're just learning.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they know the job, but knowing what to do and actually doing it are two different things. And you have somebody over there and, you know, they start to do something, they'll pull them to the side and say, hey, you know, let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, do you smell marijuana in that car? You do?
Something to think about. Yeah.
Let's go look in. Things like that.
You know, the thing about, you know, you've always heard about Hueytown is if you drive through here with any kind of traffic light or any kind of issue, you're going to be taken care of real quick. And you said that at one of the meetings I heard, you said that's something y'all take pride in.
We do. You know, the way I look at it is, let's say somebody has a busted taillight, for instance.
Sure.
Or their brake lights don't work.
Yeah.
Or a tag light out. You know, people always make fun of the tag lights that aren't out. Well, one of two things are going on there. Either they are not responsible and they don't care that their taillight's out.
Yeah.
So if they're not responsible about that, what else are they not responsible about? Do they have a warrant they haven't taken care of? Do they have illegal drugs or guns in the car?
Yeah.
Or if they are responsible, hey, did you know your tag light's out? I did not. I'll go get it fixed. Have a good day.
See, that, you know, I think that that's the part that's left out.
Yes.
The part people don't talk about is y'all going, listen, let's get this fixed. Next time I see you, let's have it fixed.
And if you go back 2, maybe 3 weeks, I think it was Calera.
Yeah.
Pulled over a car with no tag light.
Sure.
And recovered a lot of drugs. A lot. Pounds.
Well, that's what you... You know, again, you run the risk. I mean, it's your job. At the end of the day, as an adult, it's your job to make sure that you have a tag.
Yes.
To make sure that your lights work. To make sure all that... You know it's illegal.
Right.
You know this. And you know what? It's, you know, no matter how late you are to work, it's your job to drive the speed limit. And understand there's consequences if you don't.
Yeah. I mean, you know, most people nowadays, not all... But most people have iPhones or something like that that have clocks on them.
Yeah.
And you can set an alarm.
That's what I try to do.
You know, if you're running late, just set your alarm 15 minutes early.
Sure. That's
crazy.
And you
get a 15-minute head start.
That's crazy. I mean, that's crazy talking
it. It really is. To a lot of people, it really is.
Finally, you know, you've heard this, the crime in Hueytown. Mm-hmm. It happens, you know, and
yes.
I think it happens everywhere.
Yes.
Whether it's a gunshot here, gunshot there. But what we do find out, and what you said, and what a lot of people say, is that most of the people, when this happens, I don't know the percentage, you might, but a lot of people don't even live in Hueytown that are part of these shenanigans.
Correct.
How do you stop that? Can you? I mean, it's hard, right?
To put a total stop to it? No.
I mean, you can't just put a roadblock and say, no. Do you live here? Let me see your address. I mean, that's not how that works.
Exactly. No. I mean, you know, you had just this weekend, you had shootings in Alabaster. And I think another one maybe in Homewood.
It happens everywhere.
It happens everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And Homewood's one of the more trendy places to live in Alabama, one of the more expensive places.
Yes.
So it's not just about social economics,
no,
money.
It's not.
Yeah, it goes a little deeper
than
that.
Right. It's just where people end up for whatever reason.
On a weekend night, you might end up here and you live 30 miles away, but
correct.
This is the fun place to hang out tonight.
Yeah.
And
so,
you know, it happens. Yeah.
What we do is, you know, that goes back to your traffic.
Yeah.
Traffic. Patrol and things like that. I mean, the more blue lights are seen, the less people want to come in here and commit crime.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes I want to be paying attention, and I'll look, and I'm driving 78 miles per hour,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, okay, let me slow back down. But you know what? If I see a cop, I have my Waves. You know that app? So it's called Waze. So
directions, absolutely.
And it'll tell you. And see, I like that because I go, okay, I need to slow down a little bit here.
Yeah. So my son, when it's just he and I in the car. He'll sit up front with me. We were like, Dad, it says police. All right, buddy, you see them? Yeah, there they are. Still there. It's his job to say whether they're still there or they're gone.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, I told people before, if I worked a long stretch of road as a police officer, I would have Waze. And about every 3 miles, I'd mark police.
Yeah, you should.
Police. That's going to slow.
I'm telling you. Yeah. It's actually a genius idea.
It really is.
It's basically going, you know, putting the hall monitor in the hallway.
Yes.
Don't run.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, cuz if you see somebody like that, you're a lot more likely to slow down.
Right.
Yeah. So
and
I think it's great.
There's many different ways to control traffic.
Yes.
And doing something like that controls traffic.
Oh, absolutely.
Sitting on the side of the road controls traffic. There's a lot of different ways to do it.
Yeah.
You don't have to always write tickets.
And finally, you picked a profession that probably has more TV shows about your profession. And what's great about a TV show is usually they solve it within 45 minutes.
Absolutely.
But they go through a lot. You don't think it's going to happen, but it's really exciting. And I think it makes people think that career is that exciting.
Yes.
But I mean, it's not, right? It's not a TV show.
Oh, no. Yeah, they solve it within 45 minutes. There's always DNA.
For the last commercial, always DNA. Yeah,
they have the super computers, they have the super.
Yeah, the missing evidence is just found at the last minute.
Absolutely.
They get their guy.
And if you notice, they never do paperwork on those shows. There's no paperwork.
And the detectives seem like a pretty good job. They just get to get in their car and drive around and do whatever they want to.
Absolutely.
You know, come in when they want to.
You know, if you have a murder, murder books, what we call murder books, could be 3 inches thick, full of paperwork that has to be done.
It's not as glamorous, right?
No, it's really not. I don't watch those shows.
Don't blame you. I wouldn't watch them either.
The only police show that I ever really liked that was even close was a show back in the 90s called Homicide: Life on the Streets.
Okay, never heard of that. All right.
And it was... The first couple of seasons were really good.
Yeah.
Of course, at some point they jumped the shark.
You run out of stuff to tell. I mean, run out of story to tell, right?
Well, it was based off of a book, same title, that was written. This reporter went and spent a year with the Homicide Division of Baltimore PD.
Sure.
And he wrote the book, and they made the series out of it. Really good series.
Well, Gavin, that killed one of my five questions because I was going to ask what his favorite police show is.
Well, you got four more.
So I know. I'm going to ask you five. I'm just going to come up with something on the fly. That's what we do.
When you get through, I'm going to ask you at least three.
Okay.
I come up with three to ask you.
Sounds good. Hey, listen, nobody's ever asked me questions before, right?
Season three twist.
Yeah. So we play five questions. We end the interview with just random. They make no sense. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
Much like me.
There you go. Hey, there you go. And I'm looking forward to my three questions, Gavin. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's going to be.
You think I can handle the pressure?
I don't know. I don't know.
The tables are turned. So Oysters, raw, steamed,
fried.
Cooked, fried. How do you eat them? And why?
I usually don't. But if I have to, it's going to be probably fried.
Okay.
Because everything that's fried is good.
Yeah, and if you take care of the risk of having to worry about, like, what I'm going to get sick here.
I don't worry about that anyway.
If you fry it, you're good to go.
I fry it, put some hot sauce on it.
I had a raw oyster. I got a bad one time, and that's a bad sick. That's a bad, bad sick. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're saying, but I can imagine.
Oh, man, it's tough. But, you know, I bounced back. I was good. All right. Favorite movie all time?
So that's one of the ones I was going to ask you. So favorite movie all time?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could break it down to one. There's certain movies that when you're scrolling through the TV that you have to stop on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my favorite movie, but I always stop on My Cousin Vinny.
Funny movie.
It really is.
Ralph Macchio, he was 47 then.
Absolutely. Favorite movie maybe, I like Friday Night Lights.
Okay, the TV show was good too.
I never saw the TV show.
You need to watch that. That's a great
movie. I like Denzel Washington.
Okay, so Training Day, he got his first Oscar. Day, yeah. That's a great movie. He's been in a lot of good ones, but yeah, I like Training Day.
Yeah. I like Training Day.
Yeah. Okay.
That was a good one.
Hey, those were all really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, so I thought about this when I was driving over today. Like, if you're on death row, your last meal. So let's say you had to pick, not say death row, but say your last meal. What's your last meal going to be?
That's really tough there. Because, I mean, you can look at me and tell I don't turn away food.
But I'm sure you got something you really like, right?
I got to think about that one. Yeah. It'd probably be some kind of, I don't know, I really love steak.
Yeah.
I love prime rib.
Okay. Okay, so you'd steak, prime rib. What would be some sides that would go with that?
Chicken Alfredo.
Ooh. Is that a
that's a side. I mean, hey, in my world, tonight is a side.
It's your last meal.
This is my last meal.
Yeah, it's your side.
It's my side.
Anything else off that? Yeah.
We got to throw a little dessert in there, maybe.
Sure. Yeah.
I like a good Italian cream cake.
Ooh, that does sound good. No carbs in that, right? That's good stuff.
Not on Sundays. not on the Lord's Day.
Yes.
No calories either.
That's great. That's great. All right. If you could go back in your life and relive one age, what would it be?
One age. If I could relive
you could be
one age.
9 years old again. You could be 14 years old again. You could be 27 years old one again.
Huh. That's tough. I'm 60 now. That's a lot of numbers.
You've lived a long time. What would it be?
It'd probably be teenage years. I don't know if I can pick one particular.
Okay, so you're saying like 16, 17?
Yeah, it'd probably be around in then. I graduated high school around 82.
Yeah.
Or in 82, not around. Graduated high school in 82. If I could go back to 18, 19 and realize how important computers were going to be.
Sure.
And get in that field then, I'd probably do that.
Final question.
Okay.
The best car you ever owned?
Best car I've ever owned.
And it could be your first, could be your last, could be whatever. What's your best car?
Probably, and I have it now, it's a 2002 Thunderbird.
Okay, 2002
so
Thunderbird.
It's the one that looks like the old ones.
Yeah, it's got that kind of sleek look, though, to it.
Yes.
What color?
It's black with red and black seats on the inside.
I bet that's cool. I bet that's nice. You need to see me a pic of that.
I will.
I need.
Hey, you can come drive
it. I would love to. I tell you, I'm excited.
It's, we got it, and like I say, it's a 2002. It's probably got 55,000 miles on it.
That sounds awesome.
That's a great car.
All right, you got three questions for me. This
three
never
questions
happens.
For you.
This never happens. This is great. Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Okay, so first question for you.
Okay.
Walk up song.
I've been asked this before so many times. I'm going to go with Whom the Bell Tolls. AC/DC.
Okay. Has that always been since you've been asked that more than once?
It depends on the kind of mood I'm in. I've had Country Boy Can Survive from Hank Jr.
Yeah.
Bo Cephas before. I said Enter Sandman from Metallica before.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. You know, I did some old school hip hop before, I guess, if I wanted to. But yeah, I think across the board, because I'm walking up, I'm ready to hit something, right?
Right.
So to Whom the Bell Tolls just gets me in that mood.
I get it.
Yeah. I like some AC/DC.
I like
it when it rocks.
I like Tom Sawyer by Rush.
That's good. I like some Rush.
The way it comes in.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do, too. While you're asking this question, we have a go-home song that we play at the end of the episode. It's called our go-home song. So you're going to pick the go-home song tonight. Any song you want. It's got to be clean for Gavin to approve it. But other than that. Absolutely. Yeah. All right.
Next question is, if you could only listen to one band or one musical group, one artist, musical artist, for the rest of your life, what would it be, and what is their favorite song? What is your favorite song that they sing?
It's going to be Metallica.
Okay.
It's going to be Fade to Black. I like a lot of different music, and I grew up I was young in the 80s, the late 80s with the glam stuff. I love Motley Crue. I've seen Motley Crue 7 times, but Metallica's always been my favorite band.
Okay.
And Fade to Black's just an awesome, awesome song.
So mine is the Eagles.
Okay, great.
Favorite song would be Wasted Time.
Good song. And let me tell you, this is the thing about the Eagles that I've always said. So growing up, I would hear a song and I'd go, man, I like that song. I really like that song. And then I'd hear another song. Who is this? Oh, it's the Eagles. And then I hear another song. Oh, it's the Eagles. And I hear another song. This is great. Who is it? It's the Eagles. Because they had 15 different people singing in the band. Everybody yeah. in the Eagles sing. So you if you didn't know, you'd think it's a different band.
Yeah.
But Eagles are definitely one of those bands that had so many songs that you can listen to. Have you seen them in concert?
I have.
Okay, good show.
Great show.
Yeah.
My wife got us tickets to, I think it was East of Eden.
Okay. Tour. Oh, great.
And we went to it. And the reason I liked it so much is because there was Norm McMahon. There was no
pyrotechnics.
None of that.
It was just them playing music.
They came out and they said where the Eagles were going to sing.
Yeah.
And they sang for about 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
We're going to take a 15-minute break. We'll be back. They left for 15 minutes. They came back. They sang for 45 more minutes and they were done.
That's a good concert.
Nothing but the Eagles all night long.
And, you know, that's what made them a great band was just their voice, right? That's what made them great was their voice, like the way they could sing, the way they could harmonize.
That, the harmonies, the guitar.
Have you watched the documentary?
Which one?
The Eagles, the one they had. It's about 10 years ago they came out with.
I don't know that I've watched that one.
Okay, look for it up. Look it up, because if you're an Eagles fan, you have to watch it, because it talks about the beginning, and it talks about them breaking up. You know, they broke up on stage because they wanted to kill it. You know, this band were so good, but couldn't stand each other.
Yeah, and still to this day, I don't
probably think can't stand it. But you know what? They say, man, if we just do this, we'll make some money.
Yeah. So, you know, when they split up, somebody asked them, when are you getting back together? They said, when hell freezes over.
And then the tour.
When they got back together, that was their tour. Hell froze over.
Because Glenn Frey didn't want to get back.
Right.
And Don Henley really didn't either. And they both were the most successful by themselves.
Right.
Yeah. But they became a band, and they knew they were probably better together than they were apart.
Right.
But they were the two reasons the band got back together.
Yeah.
Watch that. It's a great documentary.
All right. One last song. So, what artist do you have in your playlist that would surprise people, that they wouldn't think you would have it?
Right now, I'm going to tell you this right now. You're going to laugh, Gavin.
I was going to say, you probably have some.
I'm all people. Over the place.
But what's going to surprise people?
That's what I said. Nothing would surprise me, Jamie.
Right now, I've been listening to a lot of Sabrina Carpenter.
See, that's...
Is that not surprising?
That's a good one, though.
But that's surprising. People would think, what? Sabrina Carpenter? What are you, 14?
Yeah. If we haven't been doing this podcast for
3 years
now, I would have been like, what?
Yeah. It's really, I like her. I think she's one of the, there's a lot of her people her age, a lot of artists that come out that are just because they're attractive or they've been marketed. But she's actually legit. I think she's very talented. So that would surprise people. I'd have been listening to a lot of her, like, even working out. I listen to Sabrina Carpenter. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would surprise people, I think. How about you?
Probably Eminem.
Okay, I wouldn't be that surprised.
For me, it's pretty surprising.
Well, I mean, but you know, in the 90s, that era, you know, you were fairly, you know, that was been around for a while, early 2000s.
Yeah, I'm not really a rap guy, but
sure,
his songs tell stories, tell real stories.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Well, I think, too, with music.
And 8 Mile, by the way, is another one of my favorite movies.
That's a good movie.
I like that movie.
I think sometimes you can find people. I think sometimes you can get with somebody, or you can just, for whatever reason, that music speaks to you, right? It speaks to you, and I think it spoke to a generation. So there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I mean, so nothing wrong with that.
You know,
So thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, I had a great time.
And we'll get you on again. This has been a lot of fun. You know, we had the fire. We've had the firemen on. We'll,
yeah. So something I was going to tell you. You know,
yeah,
you
go ahead.
The firemen on. How many of them did you have?
I had three or four.
No, you had three.
Yeah, three. Three. Yeah.
One police does what three firemen do.
Hey, you heard it here first. Yeah.
Hey, it is what it is.
No, but listen, if you're ever, you know, you're at the event sometimes with us, so if you're ever at an event, hop in, talk to us. We try to interview people as they walk around, and we love doing the podcast because we think people need the opportunity to talk about what they like about Hueytown, you know? Great community.
It is a great community. It really is.
A lot of spirit. They love people that live here, grew up here. They love this place. It means something to them.
It does. Yeah, we've really enjoyed our time here.
Yeah, great. Well, I hope you're here many, many more years. All right, so your go-home song, what are we going to play tonight?
Let's
get out of here.
In the Air Tonight.
Okay. Phil Collins?
Phil Collins.
The original.
The original.
There is a cover by Nine Point is the name of the band.
Really?
It gets after it a little bit, picks it up. That's a good workout song for me. Check it out one night.
I haven't heard that one.
Nine Point, the cover from it. But In the Air Tonight, Phil Collins, great song. If taking you back to a little Miami Vice days, another cop show, by the way. So we hoped you enjoyed the podcast. It's great to be back. Gavin, are you excited about back for season three?
I am.
And listen, I know you're all asking, where's the rest of the crew? We'll get them on sporadically. They'll be joining us from time to time. We always, once you're on the podcast, it's an open invitation to always be a part of it. No matter if you graduate, you move on, you're still part of the podcast family. So we'll get the crew on here from time to time. So keep listening to us. And like I said, it might not be out every week, but it will be out. We will have episodes for you. So for Gavin Williams, I'm Jamie Gilmore. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Chamber Chat.